Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast was recorded before the COVID-19 emergency and before social distancing measures were in place. Please stay home and stay safe.
Date ended, and I thought, and I found out my friend who set me up on the date, and I said, oh, well, you know, I went for a date with your friend. It's kind of weird because, like, her grandma had died that day, and, you know, she still came on the date. She went, oh, no, her grandma hadn't died. She was just a bit nervous, and she drank a bottle of wine, and it just came out.
Postcards from the Edge. Hey guys, Ida Williams here, and welcome to Postcards from the Edge, a podcast where every week I'll be having some amazing guests on, usually joined by my mom, Gwen, and my small-time first husband, Robbie Williams. He's a bit of a limelight stealer, so I will try and keep him to a minimum for you and for me. Every episode, we'll be chatting about our Anglo-American differences, which are huge now that I am an LA girl living in the United Kingdom, with a good bit of gossip thrown in as well. So let's get on to this week's guest. In this episode, Gwen, me, Robbie, and Robbie's panties sit down for a lovely chat with David Williams. We chat about sending Gwen off to the Swiss clinic and a little something David did called swimming the channel. Big fucking show off. As well as his incredible new play, The Boy in the Dress, which I might add has incredible music by someone named Robbie Williams. It's all one big promotion, and here it is. One quick note. This episode is a bit rude and crude, with a few naughty words thrown in, so definitely not family-friendly listening. Sorry, kids. Postcards from the Edge. David Williams, I am so happy to have you here today. That felt very funny.
I didn't know your mum was going to be here.
Well, she's...
I'm the co-presenter.
She's the co-presenter. She's kind of...
I'm regional manager and co-presenter.
This is a grand example of nepotism right here.
Me and Gwen get on very well.
I know you.
I like Gwen a lot.
At the gig, there was a palpable connection at the gig the other night.
We generally have that electricity between us.
You could cut it through with a butter knife.
But she's taken.
I know, sadly, David. She's taken. I know. It's a huge blow for... pretty much any man walking on the street, but she's locked down for life. We don't know how long that life is going to be, but she's locked down.
Well, until you send me to the Swiss clinic.
I'm going to send you to the Swiss clinic. By the way, I don't think that's a bad way to end it.
Well, hang on. She's not there yet.
No. I'm just saying, when the time comes, if I say, hey, you want to go to Switzerland, you know what I'm
talking
about.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you could just...
Well, she might think you're just going to get some Toblerone. And then it turns out there's a clinic. She's up there. That's it. You never
see
her again.
I'll give you chocolate at the end if that means anything, if that's what you want.
I can have unlimited chocolate.
I can have unlimited chocolate. can we just describe...
appeared in his pants. Black pants.
Black pants. Oh, there's no tiger on them either. It's just...
Yes,
by the way, that was like...
basic. Don't put on a t-shirt. Just come and sit
come
down
here, you big hunk of man. By the way, that was hysterical. For the viewers that cannot see what just happened, we were sat here, and much like saloon doors busting open in a Western bar, you just slid the hotel room doors open in your...
Hello, darling.
In your... Well, this is a perfect example, because you just said, here he is in his pants. In America, these are my pants.
Your trousers.
You call them trousers.
Your trousers are your pants. Well, you have to call them underwear.
Well, no, I call them pants. We call them underwear or pants. But, so
but you
is,
call underwear knickers, don't you?
Which is
sometimes
a totally...
We have a lot of euphemisms.
For
we
panties?
Have, well, for lots of things, don't we? Sort of slightly naughty things. We
like
have lots
what?
Of euphemisms. Well, like knickers and bloomers.
Bloomers is another one.
Thing. And sometimes you just make up words.
Like Nicky Nogs or something.
Yeah, Nicky Nacky Noonars.
Nicky Nacky. Babe, I love you and your Nicky Nacky Noonars.
Oh, me doofer. Have you got the doofer?
The doofer. Well, yeah. I just remember when I kept getting my pants wet. Like, if I'd spill something, I said, my pants are wet. I think Rob thought I was either
spill something,
incontinent or really turned on.
I think girls can say panties.
Mm.
Can I just say? I've just been asleep, like,
800 hours, 8 minutes
ago.
Yeah.
And I had a dream about you.
What did you dream?
That was a wig. That your hair was a wig. And it was the weirdest, you sort of like, and then you had these socks on, but they were like ballet shoes. But they were ballet shoe socks made by Vivian Westwood.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's clever.
That's like very specific.
So why were you thinking about hair?
Have you ever had
anything done to yours?
Yes, I have. Yes, right. I have. I've had a bit of a thatch, but I was watching an advert.
It was very successful.
I didn't need it.
You didn't need it? Honestly, I see
difference. You had it anyway.
Yeah.
Just because
you're
over
that vain.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have treatments you don't need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus, I think you quite enjoy the anesthesia process. You enjoy the numbing treatment.
You never needed it.
Literally
you did it anyway.
Didn't see any reason.
Do you feel sorry
for
people who were bald in the past who didn't have this opportunity? Because it's got very easy
yes.
to have a hair transplant. But there's sort of people who
would rely on their personalities.
Yeah. Or all those movie stars that used to just wear wigs. Like, you know, you see John Wayne or James Stewart on the chat show. And they clearly wear wigs.
I don't wear a wig.
No, I think, well, we should talk about manners. Because Rob's a perfect, I mean, he eclipses toenails with his mouth. I mean, I don't know how dark we can go down this path, but are you looking at David's pants? See, pants! What? His thigh?
I've been admiring those, yes.
What?
The cufflinks are beautiful.
Oh, are those like Staffordshire knot kind of?
No, they're not. They're snakes.
They're little snakes.
I've been admiring them from afar.
Tom Ford.
You're so fancy.
I know.
You're really fancy, man.
Hey!
What?
Talk me through what's this podcast
okay, so
about.
Well, actually, you dipped into the first kind of concept because, you know, when you so graciously helped yourself to the scones.
Is that part of the podcast?
Well, I'm just going to eat the scones either way, but I was going to talk about scones versus scones, because I've always called them a scone.
Okay.
But you're from the north, which is a whole different land. What do you call them?
Scones.
You call them scones.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you call them?
Scones.
You call them scones. By the way, that sounds so much
scones.
Nicer.
Scones. I'm sitting on a very posh voice.
I was going to say scones.
There's Bath and Bath as well.
Yeah,
there?
I say.
And even swear words are pronounced differently.
Well, also, Rob always says
Book, Luke, and Cook.
Well, that's just different, though. That's just Stoke. But I think that in America, this is one thing that you say, too, that is that we turn T's into D's. So, like, if you ask for a cup of water, that's how we would say it.
I literally, somebody came and asked me if I wanted a drink. I said, I can have some water, please. And then, I have some water, please. Water, please. And then I went, water? And they went, oh, okay.
Okay, water.
I like when you guys do our accent, though. You make us, like, 30% dumber. It's like, water and...
No, I make more than that. 30%.
That's generous.
Well, in my direction.
It's awful, isn't it? Because it is a sort of ingrained sort of slight sense of superiority, isn't it? It's awful.
Yeah, but it kind of is true. Well, wait, stop making that face.
Also, Americans are really nice, though, because whenever they're... I was like, how friendly they are. And if you're somewhere, you know, in Britain or something, you know, on the train or whatever, American people will happily talk to you.
Yeah.
And I always like that. They're
yeah.
very friendly
people.
And very proud of where they're from. And so, you know...
Do you think it's ignorance is bliss? We're more ignorant, so we're more blissful? Do you think we're kinder people for it?
I don't know. It's just different, isn't it? Because it's such a big country, so people don't leave that often, and so therefore they're maybe a little more unused to, you know,
irony.
The outside world.
Culture. I like how you said that.
It's just different, isn't it? It's just a different...
I do think that Americans, on the whole, are quite friendly in terms of...
Oh, yeah, very friendly.
Yeah, no, well, Los Angeles isn't the world. And Los Angeles
isn't America. No, like, Midwesterners
so, like,
and Southern people,
good,
they're
like,
so nice.
Beautiful people.
They're
gorgeous
so nice.
People. Sensitive and loving and generous
and authentic
and authentic.
Gwen's saying words again. What did you say?
Midwesterners are authentic.
They are authentic
and so West easy Coast. To sleep with.
Really? Even though you're not famous in America?
Yeah.
Do you know here?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, don't need to know.
Wow.
Okay. I just want to pass
wait,
this around. This
well,
is the
but
scone
I know. First
map.
Of all, okay. We'll look at the scone map in a second. But I just want to touch on this. Is this because you just show them Nebworth on every first date?
No, no.
Because
no.
You showed me Nebworth on our first date. First date.
I just has it casually on.
Yeah, this is what I am. I might look like Bruce Wayne to you, but I'm actually
that guy. Yeah, on the first
date. I was there at Nebworth.
Were you at Nebworth?
Yeah, I was at Nebworth. Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah, I saw it.
You came pre-fame.
Well, yes, I suppose it was. It was just an entity, and I would never have dreamed of being invited onto a podcast.
How lucky you are.
Mark Owen came on at the end, and you did a kind of thrash back for good.
Yeah.
I remember that.
A thrash version.
I suppose it was a bit sort of, I don't know, Nirvana-ish or something.
So what were you doing at the time? What was your job?
I was sort of in show business. It's not well known. You know, I've been doing like comedy stuff and writing.
You were at JD Sports.
Wow. Well, here, let me just tether you to the ground, David. This will make you
some mid-ranking boy band.
Well, no, well, let me.
I was acting and writing and doing comedy, but obviously
he was on his way up, Rob.
Not that I was well known. That's okay.
Wait, can I just say something, though?
Yeah.
That I actually knew who you were before I knew who
you
were.
Yes!
So let me just
hold on.
Table it like that.
Can you remember, it just felt like an eternity that James Corden was just like, oh, James, I wonder when he'll get his... Can you remember?
He's making up right now.
No, he really is, isn't he? Because like James Corden would just be like, there's this, and it's David, and
we remember a night out. We went out.
And
it's
lovely, mate.
Yeah. In London, yeah.
But then I would bump into, like, James every 6 or 7 months at a random thing, and it'd be like, I wonder when he's going to get his turn.
Do you know what he's doing? He's pissing on a Robbie Williams poster right now.
Yeah, he really is.
In America, just hosing it.
Well, I saw him, you know, because he's in Cats as well, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Right, with Meryl.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only has he got this huge career on television, he's got a film career.
James sees me now,
he goes off less.
When's he going to get his spot in the light again, he used to have?
When's he going to come to America?
Yeah.
When are they going to catch on?
It's interesting, those timings, though, aren't they? They're quite strange, aren't they? Like, sometimes your contemporaries really overtake you.
Yes.
And then sometimes people are playing a really long game or something.
I'm playing
a really long game.
Baby Yoda in the house.
That's right.
No, I think, babe, you're going to have your big...
No,
big
I think I'm swinging. No joke. I think I'm swinging back into that bit where they go, oh, I'm glad he's still about a bit.
Like Vinyl?
No jokes.
I think the Vegas shows have kind of changed things, haven't they? Because you're now a big draw in Vegas.
Yeah. There was nothing wrong with my career.
No.
But you're becoming more recognisable in the States.
You'd stopped, hadn't you?
You were retired, right?
You were living in hiding, weren't you?
You're still doing music. Oh, good for you.
Oh, what about your mate from Stoke-on-Trent? The thing?
Oh, bless my mate from school.
So, Rob's connected with some people from high school.
Aid. And he's like, hey, I've just bought tickets for the Killers in Manchester next year. You're not supporting them by any chance, are you?
Oh.
Ow.
I said, oh. Sold 1.5 million tickets on my last tour. I did.
I always like people are very, very keen on putting you in your place. They always think you need taking down a peg or two.
Yeah, yeah. That's an English thing, by the way.
Yeah,
it's a very
English thing. I don't think he was doing that.
He just genuinely thought you were
doing. What about the guy in the lift?
It'd be great. Which one?
The one in the lift here.
What did it
happen? Didn't he say, are you still doing music?
I've had loads of that. I've had, yeah.
Still carrying on.
Plugging away.
Still plugging away. Yeah.
What about you, Dave? Has anyone come up to you and said anything incredibly passive-aggressive, checking you either consciously or unconsciously that you can remember in recent
history? Oh, yeah. Well, all the time.
Like what?
I used to like you when I was little.
Do you forget my mom used to like you? Rob gets a lot of mothers.
Yeah, I also get every day. Seriously, every day. Such a shame you're not on the X Factor anymore. It's like, that wasn't the one I was on. You haven't been paying attention, have you? There's a whole other show called Britain's Got Talent. But that's okay. I mean, I just guess people, I don't know, some people genuinely don't know that you're up to anything.
Right. But what's worse?
Some people probably trying to sort of, you know.
I think it's worse when people genuinely don't know. It's better when they're trying to put you down because you're like, they're just being nasty. But when someone genuinely says something.
Oh, no,
and it's worse.
All the ones that I get are, genuine.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's best not to worry too much about it, is it? It's quite good to be put in your place sometimes, because it just, you know, reminds you that you're not, that not everyone cares. Whoever you are, not everyone cares, do they? I mean, I bet someone would gone up to Barack Obama. Are you up to much these days? Or, you know, yeah. I mean,
can you imagine what he gets, though, if there is someone dumb enough to go, like, so, Barack, like, what you doing? It's like,
what are you up to? Well,
I got, when I was in Take That, somebody back in Stoke went, because, like, Top of the Pops used to be filmed on a, it used to be on a Thursday, I think. And he said, so what do you do for the rest of the week? And that was his opening question. And I didn't know what he meant. And I went, what are you on about? And he went, well, you're on Top of the Pops. And what do you do for the rest of the week? And he genuinely thought that the only thing that you
did... That was all you did.
...was be on Top of the Pops.
Well, I remember when I was acting, because I was the only one kind of acting from high school, because they all went off to be lawyers and doctors and investment bankers, and that was kind of the path I was on. I remember it was like, if I had like anything more than like a 2-month break from working, I'd get the question, so what are you going to do if this acting thing doesn't work out? Or are you still doing the acting thing? It was like, it's literally been 2 months. But you would really get, I would get very insecure about it, because I thought, wow, I'm never going to work again, and I should just get my shit together.
Yeah, like someone last night said, oh, we need you back on TV. I was like, well, on it quite regularly. Probably too much.
A lot.
I'm on it actually too much. I've been on TV sort of really every year for about daily. The last 20 years. I mean, how much more do you want to see?
I love that she said it. We really need to get you back.
I know. It's like, it's slightly sad. I felt slightly sorry for me.
That's the thing. It's the sadness for you. I don't know. It is one of those funny things. I think people don't... Well, Yoda, you tell us. Do people mean to do that? Or they just try to make banter and they don't know about how it works and they're empathizing?
Well, there goes both ways, right? I mean, some people truly are ignorant and dumb and stupid, and other people are really mean.
Okay, that was good.
Thank you, Baby Yoda.
Thank you. Okay, so I wanted to... Oh, this was a word also that I wanted to discuss with you. Is that David's face right now is just like...
I'm just looking at you. She's very beautiful.
Thank you.
She's stunning, mate. You've
done very well.
Thank you. I mean, if you see what I put up with, David, it's really imbalanced. I mean, the scratching of the button, the farting is... But I love you, Boozy.
Yeah.
And I love you too, David.
Oh, thank you.
You're in the love fold.
I never stop being in, or every now and again, I'll be just like talking to Ida, and then my eyes will light up and I'll look at, and I'll be amazed at the beauty that I'm staring at.
Aww.
At least once or twice a day. You see me do that.
Yeah, you
when
do.
When I sort of like go, and I sort of like taken aback.
Yeah, you do that.
But
last
if
time.
You had to pick something you didn't like about
me, you bastard. This is good. Okay, we can do this. We can do this. Okay, what's your least, it has to be physical. It can't be emotional. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Be careful, Rob.
Careful.
You're going on eggshells here. You're going, I mean, because it will be remembered and then you'll have to.
It'll be on tape.
Well, it's too beautiful.
That's the right answer.
No, you know that thing that you do with, you know that thing that you do when you sort of like point out your own imperfection that I haven't noticed.
Yeah.
And then you go, yeah, but what about my nose?
Yeah. I always think my nose is crooked.
Yeah, you go, oh, my nose.
Yeah.
But like, that's.
I think it's fine,
yeah.
Nose.
That's I was what, like, oh, it's crooked.
That's
it's
what,
crooked. I do that thing in the mirror when I'm like,
I go,
oh, look, straighter, crooked, straighter, crooked.
That's what she does for the folks at home. She's taking a finger. And sort of like
but I've also started to do that thing. I've also started to do that thing that I used to see my grandmother and my mother do now that I've turned 40. Is like, I've started to do this thing where I look in the mirror and I go,
You're just pulling.
I'm just pulling.
Putting the skin up to what you look like.
It's like it's my foreskin or something.
I've never been attractive. It's just I feel blessed now I'm getting older. I've got nothing to lose. Do you know what I mean? Because I think if you are really prized for your beauty, it must be quite hard as you get older. But
Rob
if you were never... If no one ever...
Compliments you.
No one ever compliments you in the way you look. It's fine. You're going, well, there we go. I've just got old.
Well, men have it better than women, though, in terms of the aging process.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
But you said the thing that was like the darkest thing I think I've ever heard anyone say about beauty was like, would you say beautiful women die twice? And it was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's rough. Yeah, you said that.
Nice
on my 40th.
Huh? Nice thing to say.
Yeah.
No,
I happy birthday, Ida. Yeah.
Dear Ida, happy birthday.
Beautiful women die
twice.
Do you know what he wrote on my cake?
This is your first.
He did a thing on my cake once for my birthday and said, you're the oldest woman I've ever had sex with.
And when she became 40, she
I was.
She slid into my favourite porn category, so I'm chuffed.
How old are you?
45.
How old are you?
48.
Are you?
Yeah.
You've preserved very well.
I think you have. You just look the same.
Yeah, I haven't changed that. I'm going to be fatter.
You look exactly the same.
How did you lose weight?
Fish.
Right. Well, you do squid and chocolate. It's your combo.
Yeah.
What's the biggest you've been?
I think, was it when we were dating and we were just eating chocolate and crisps?
Well, when we got together, it was like going for gold, because we just got together and then they were like, well, we found each other now. Let's just eat. And it was like you called me Sir Honey Dijon.
Because you called me Lady Sea Salt.
Lady Sea Salt. We'd have those big kettle chips, but then donuts. We just went for it. And she stayed that size. And there was one day that I came in.
He put on 40 pounds.
There was one day that I came in and I got my tracksuit on. And Ida had obviously been wearing my tracksuit and undone it with the drawstring and tightened it to her own size. And I can remember coming in the bedroom.
You got mad at me.
I was, babe, if you're going to wear my tracksuits, undo the strings.
Yeah.
And undo the strings.
I was like, eh?
And it wasn't, she hadn't been wearing my tracksuit. I just got fat.
They hadn't been made tighter. It was just a completely different size.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when we were in our love nest, when we were eating the chocolate, we watched you swim the channel. We watched
back to me.
You.
Back See, to me and my achievements.
Well, I just think it's important to know that you've been a thread of the fabric of our love story.
I can imagine that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Little Britain thing was way before.
Hey, let's talk about channel swimming.
Let's talk about Little Britain, Gwen.
Let's not gloss over that.
Sorry.
By the way, how the heck did you do that, by the way?
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
Baby
asking.
Yoda, simmer down.
Well, it was. I was on a trip with Comic Relief. And they said, oh, is there anything sporty you've ever wanted to do? I said, oh, I was about to swim in the channel. The guy went, you can do it next year for sport relief.
Thank you.
I was like, oh.
But were you like a good swimmer? I was a good swimmer.
But who swims for... No one swims for 10.5 hours, do they?
No.
I mean, you swim for half an hour, maybe. And it's kind of boring. And you stop and you go, well, that was that.
Did you have to train for months?
Yes, of course I had
Baby
to train.
Baby Yoda.
Come on, baby.
No, I just thought, you just woke up that morning.
I just had a big breakfast. No, you have to train for a long time because you have to get used to the cold water.
That's...
So I had to do like 8-hour training swims.
Oh.
It's really, really boring. And you have to train all through the winter and the spring when the it's really cold.
When
and
the water
so.
Starts to move again.
So
to
it was,
move again?
Well, I mean, doesn't it
It's always
in
moving.
Winter?
It's water.
Doesn't it freeze?
You can't do it if you're really skinny. Because you need a layer of fat.
You're out, Gwen.
To keep you warm.
Which you've got already. So
thank you very much.
Thank goodness.
Well, actually, I lost a lot of weight doing the training because I was swimming so much. And I actually looked pretty good. And then they went, right, and you've got to put on 2 stone.
You had to put on 2 stone
for the swim? I was so annoyed because I was actually looking great.
You were
but then I had a great time, a bit like your donut time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm eating...
Because you have to.
For sport relief.
Yeah.
So I was eating lots of cheese and cupcakes and things like that.
Oh, that's
Is there a place that you go to in your head in those moments where you sort of see yourself from above? Or I don't know what I'm trying to ask.
I think it's good to visualise, you know, if you were successful at something. I think it's quite a helpful thing. So I definitely visualise what it would be like to get to the other side and how that feeling might be.
Is there any moments where it's meditative and you sort of disappear?
Yeah,
within the swim.
Because it's quite boring swimming. And
it's isolating.
You're just there, your face is down in the water, there's nothing to look at. And so, yeah, you're alone with your thoughts and you just have to kind of get to some sort of...
Because I feel like...
I don't really know what Zen is, but I hear it used a lot, so Zen state.
Well, when we train for the marathon...
It's what Baby Yoda is.
Baby Yoda is in a permanent state of Zen. We train for the marathon, and there were definitely moments of just like... Because it's not 8.5 hours, but... Well, maybe for you it was, but it was... You know,
for the people at home, say...
Oh, sorry,
we,
for people
I
at home.
I didn't train for the marathon.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Rob did not train for the marathon. He was busy doing Nebworth. Gwen and I trained for the marathon to raise money for AIDS.
Right.
And we kind of did it as a mother-daughter thing. But I noticed that because it's so physically exhausting, there were moments where you were present within it and then moments where you had to go deep within and you were kind of in a different state.
Yeah, just making your legs move.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Not really thinking about anything else.
Exactly. So it was. So I can't imagine with something where you're swimming for 8.5 hours.
Did you swim? Did you run together? As
no,
side
no. I left
side?
Her the minute it started. It
right.
She was going at a much slower pace.
Were you trampled on the foot? Or
she was. She was. By the way, your crossing the finish picture was my one of my.
See this?
It's hysterical because mine's
horrible.
Quite like. I was running really fast because
how old were you?
I was 23, so right. 22. So I was.
I was 50 something.
And well, we can just assess that you're 30 years older than me. So you were 52 or 53. And mine's quite victorious when I'm crossing through, and I'm kind of like the only one. It's a great shot. And then we got your picture, and there's who were you running with?
That
there
guy,
was some like
the guy.
There was some like very unhealthy looking man with his tongue out.
He was a drummer,
and he kind of is like crossing line with Gwen, kind of. Hunched over with his tongue out, and Gwen's kind of like this. It's just the best. It's the least victorious looking picture. But I remember it being.
I still
also,
did it in the top 50 percentile. Let's
not. The other people died. It doesn't count. but when we did it, it was what I don't know if it surprised you was actually the time commitment of training.
Oh.
It was just like I had no social life.
I couldn't date.
It's
tough, isn't it? Because
yeah,
there's no time to really do anything.
Nothing.
Else,
and I didn't realize, I don't think I would do it again knowing how much time it required to actually get through it and to do well. Like you had to be, I can't imagine with doing 8 and 9 hour swims.
It was boring. I mean, I get it. I'd drive to Dover Harbour. So I would then, you know, get in the water at 9 o'clock in the morning and not get out till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And also not get out to even eat or anything like that. Though you'd have some.
Do they give you like a goo or something?
Yeah,
like
the gels,
like,
the goo.
And then drive back to London. So I get home in the evening and just think, that was my day.
Did you ever think of, in the midst of it, because I feel like I definitely had moments with the training where it got so hard that I just thought, what am I doing? Did you ever think you were going to quit, or because it was for comic relief, you knew you were going to...
I felt like I couldn't quit because, I don't know, you know, when you're doing something for other people... Well, there's some pressure on you. It's actually a good thing, isn't it?
100%.
Because then you actually do it. Otherwise, I mean, if I was just doing it for my own
benefit, you're
ends,
jolly.
I would just have given up. Yeah.
So, do you now looking back on it, do you take something of value away from it for yourself?
Yeah, because you think, oh, sort of, you're mentally tougher than you thought.
Yeah.
And that it's you always try harder when you're doing something for other people.
100%.
So, did you visualize getting to the other side?
Why? Before? We just talked about that.
Yes, I did visualize it, but I also went to see this hypnotist called Paul McKenna.
Oh, Paul McKenna.
Who you all know.
We all know Paul McKenna.
And Paul, he did this thing where he made me sort of visualize success and stuff. And actually, I hadn't done it before he mentioned it. And I thought it was a very useful thing to do. Because I thought, yeah, if I get to the other side, it'd be great. Everyone would think I'm some great guy. I actually thought, if I had died on the...
Better
the boat
story.
On the way back.
Better story.
Say I'd have died on the boat on the way back. I would be some sort of... There'd be a statue.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's interesting,
be...
isn't it? The manner of your death can be quite defining.
For sure.
That would have been the best time for me to die.
100%.
On the boat, on the way back. So just from
victorious.
The chart, he just raised money and now...
He's died.
Well,
died.
I had an overwhelming feel of what a guy.
Yeah, we did. We had a what a guy in bed, eating our crisps. We were like, what a guy.
Mm.
And I hadn't met you. But knew you from
but
Little
you
Britain.
You wanted to.
But I did. I did.
It was an ambition.
It was an ambition.
You
it was
visualized
on the list. I visualized it.
Did you use Rob as the way to get to me?
I did. This is where it's that. Really uncomfortable because it's all coming to light. Yes. But
so where did you meet?
We met on a...
Blind date.
Who set you up?
A mutual...
I did.
What do you mean?
I mean,
Baby Yoda.
No,
you...
I didn't set... I knew the guy that set you up through me.
Okay, I knew... Okay, it's a very tenuous link. So you... Well, she's that Baby Yoda's not having it.
What did you know about him before the date?
Yeah.
Not much. They said we went to a dinner. I was at my brother's. He always went to... did you ever go to that restaurant, Trader Vic's in LA?
Yes.
So that
not
was
in LA. I've been to the one here.
So that was our... Do they have one here?
Yeah, they do.
They had one.
They
had
one. It's gone now, I think.
So my grandparents used to go to that restaurant. We got brought as a child... And or just children. And so my brother, it became his kind of ritual to go to Trader Vic's for his birthday every year. And so his birthday is in January. And I was single and I was at this dinner for his birthday. And Callum, this friend of ours who ultimately set us up, he was with another actor called, do you know who Sean McGuire is?
Yes.
Okay, so Sean and Callum came to the dinner because Sean was Callum's friend. But Sean and I had been...
You can trim the fat, you know.
Well, we can trim it afterwards.
It's like January.
Okay, fine, whatever.
And...
They came to the dinner.
Was it a dinner?
I was at a dinner. Fine. Tell the story.
No.
I was at a dinner. They were like, are you single? Sean was like, you're amazing. You're incredible. How are you single? And they were like, we've got someone to set you up with. They were meeting up with you later. And they said your name, which sounded like a familiar name. Like I knew the name, but I didn't know what you looked like or anything. And
Just as well.
Do you know what I mean? Might've been a no. And then they said, can we set you up? And
I was properly blind. You hadn't seen what he looked like.
I hadn't seen what he looked like. We had no...
And you hadn't seen what I'd look like.
Oh, I Googled her, yeah.
Right, okay.
But we hadn't ever talked. And then they said, can we give him your number? I thought, oh, I don't want to be set up on a blind date.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
And I've had so many...
I once had a really bad
one. Did you?
I'll tell you about when you've finished.
Okay.
When you finally finished.
I know. 3 hours later.
Listen, and then we met. You tell your story.
And then you met. And then was it instant? Were you instantly in love with each other?
Yeah, kind of. At first it was incredibly awkward. I just thought, oh, he's a bit weird. There was a moment within 10 minutes of us going to the party where we sat on this couch and it was instant. It was like I'd known him my whole life. It was like, honestly, it was like the universe opened up and it was like someone understood me and got me and I got them. And it was awesome. And I didn't say anything
to him
because I thought that'll come off like a psycho. And then 9 months later when he was telling the story about how we met, he goes, and then there was this like, amazing moment on the couch where I was just instantly in love. And I went, you felt that? I felt that. So there was a thing.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And that's how I was lured into his wicked web.
What was your story?
I got set up by a friend. He's like, oh, you've got to meet my friend. She's amazing. She's incredible. You're going to love her. She's wonderful.
Perfect.
She's funny. Oh, my God. All right. And it wasn't quite a blind date because I guess you knew what I looked like, but I didn't know what she was doing. She was a very pretty girl anyway. Went to meet her in the pub, but she was really like monosyllabic.
No.
So how are you? Fine. How was your day? Good. I was like that. Like for about an hour. I was like, oh, this is really hard. And then we left the pub, and she went, my grandma died today.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. How did she die? She just died. And I went, what, was it an illness, or was it sudden? She just died. I'm really sorry. And anyway, so, you know, date ended, and I thought, and I found out my friend who set me up on the date, and I said, oh, well, you know, I went on a date with you first. Kind of weird, because, like, a grandma had died that day, and, you know, she still came on the date. She went, oh, no, grandma hadn't died. She was just a bit nervous, and she drank a bottle of wine, and it just came out.
Are you kidding?
Well, that's worse.
That's mental.
Who invents that their grandma died?
That's mental. What did you mean? I have AIDS.
I was like, what were you supposed to do with this evening?
Wow.
When other people have died, will they have died
weird.
Or not?
That's so weird.
Which makes
do anything weird like that with you. I just thought I was funny and you were not funny.
Did you ever go AWOL with your drugs in terms of, you know, did you ever like not show for things?
Oh, yeah, he stood up. You stood me up.
No. He said things that matter like jobs.
You asshole.
No, because there are people who just like go missing for like weekends and things like that. No. You would just stay at home and do it?
If I had a job to do, I would do the job.
And then you'd get high as a kite afterwards.
Did it ever affect your work in a big way?
I think my songs were better. I think the quality of the songs, I don't know. It's funny that sort of like when I got into smoking weed in a big way, it's like I smoked weed and then didn't smoke weed, and then got into smoking weed in a big way, and I did the Rude Box album. So it's, you can sort of classify the journey that I've been
weed.
On.
You should not smoke weed. Postcards from the
Edge. What is the connection between musicians and drink and drugs? Because I know Elton well, and he's obviously went through a period of 20 years, which he's talked about a lot of, you know, going crazy. And it seems like it's something particular to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying other people don't do it. Of course they do. And people who have totally normal jobs, you know, are addicts. But obviously, it does seem like a large percentage of people who are musicians.
I've not got a clue.
I mean, my outside looking in would be, it's quite strange because we'll just be talking about, I don't know, the kids or the dogs or whatever. And he goes, okay, I got to go, but, you know, because. And then I go to my seat, and the next thing I know, he's out there in front of 80,000 people going, Robbie fucking William! You know, and it's like this whole other persona. And then it's so large. And then you kind of get off stage, and I think there's this real adrenaline kind of misplaced because you just had to be this guy for 2.5 hours yeah. in such a huge degree.
And I think it's only really music where people really scream when they see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because however well known you are as a movie star or, you know, I don't know, comedian or whatever, people don't go that crazy for you. And I think that is particular to being a musician.
And it's like when you film something, you know, like, even if you're, not that I would know a huge movie star, but you know, you're doing it, it's all in the canyon. There's like the crew around and it's, you do your lines.
People are bored.
People are bored. Whereas when you're doing your job, it's live and it's pumped and people are drunk and they're screaming and they've got personal relationships with you that you don't have with them necessarily. And there's a lot coming at you. And then you have to match that with a lot coming back at them. And then you're supposed to just kind of get off stage and then have a cup of tea and go to bed. And I noticed with Rob, because he doesn't do drugs anymore, is that, you know, his kind of responses as tour goes on is that his hours get later and later and later because he just is filled with so much adrenaline. And, you know, we'll watch, I don't know, I'm a Celebrity or a repeat of whatever. And it's like, you know, it's hard to simmer down after being pumped up like Superman.
Yeah, it was 6 o'clock this morning that I got to sleep and 5 o'clock the morning before. After the show, it's impossible.
Like, have you noticed anything?
Do you have that when you do?
There's definitely harder. I mean, I don't have the euphoria I imagine you experience, but definitely if you've been on stage and don't come off stage till like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night or whatever, it's definitely hard to sleep because your adrenaline is pumping. And that's, I guess, why some people go off searching for excitement, don't they, to try and keep that feeling going.
And there's always people around to help you maintain that feeling, you
know? Has there been a David Walliams tour? You done a tour?
No, we did a big Little Britain tour.
No, I know.
I remember we watched that.
We did, I think, 250 shows.
Wow.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
That's huge.
That was incredible, yeah.
Did you enjoy it, or were you just knackered?
You go through different periods. I mean, I actually always enjoyed being on stage.
Yeah.
Because making people laugh is a great privilege and really good fun. But obviously there are days when you're stuck somewhere where, you know, away from home and something's happening that you wish you could be there for, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Your dad's birthday or something and you're stuck somewhere miles away.
Some grim hotel.
And you're also trying to fill the day, mm-hmm. you know, you're away from home, you don't got any your things around you, your friends around
you. Well, it's isolating because you have the only infrastructure.
So you're just waiting to do the show. But I always like being on stage and I'd like to do that again. But I've never done a solo tour, no.
Do you?
I don't really know what I do.
You could just talk.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not sure people are that interested. I'd like to do something around my books, maybe.
I'd like to put together a show
around my books where I'm there and maybe there's actors and
maybe telling stories.
Like you should do a world. Like
a world of
like
Williams.
a David Williams world.
There's going to be a theme park ride.
Is there?
Yeah. Alton Towers.
No
yes.
way.
Is there really?
Yes, how cool is that?
I've got one before, Robbie. Yeah.
You totally do. Yours would be called...
Yeah, but I might buy that theme park, so I could get rid of that.
No, you bastard. You rich bastard.
Close it down.
Close it down and put a 90s theme park.
No, it's exciting. At Alton Towers, there's going to be a ride based on one of my books.
Which book is it based on?
I'm not allowed to say. Okay. It seems incredible because I kind of think... You know, you almost like saying to them, well, I mean, I don't think this secret's going to set the world alight. But there you go. Funny, you know, there's often things that are secret.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah
and you
got to
think, oh,
yeah,
fair enough. Does it need to be secret?
Dave, that's great.
That's so exciting. Cool. It's Alfred's going to freak. You know, I think there's like certain things that make our kids excited more
okay,
than...
Okay, so what makes your kids excited?
Well, like, I think the tiger who came to tea, which actually you're both...
I've just had a thought. Real. It's like the one thing that when we joke battle between David that I can hang over him.
Oh, here
it's
we go.
It's like the more things sold and the more money, you know.
But the rest of he's got over you.
Yeah, and no, but I think in like 10 years...
He's got all of those things over
he's
you.
He's going to dwarf me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all I'll have is my good looks.
He's evil. He's just evil. He's an evil bad man.
I'm not warming to him.
No, I'm not. I don't even know. We didn't even invite you.
Because like...
David, you were in the room next door.
David sold 35,000 million.
Did you just say 1,000 million?
I mean, 1,000 million sounds like
so
a lot.
That is so passive aggressive.
35 million
books.
And like the first time I sold 35 million of anything, I was like, I've got to get out of this band and stop my solo career. I was. It's like
so
you're 20
awful.
Now.
He's an awful
20
person.
Now.
He's an awful person,
and
David.
You
should we boo him? Should we just boo him? He's just bad. Not relevant in America. Hashtag.
We all remember that moment, Judas. When he left. That was a helpline.
Yeah, no, but I...
That's not true.
I've just seen...
Did you see the future? And you saw that David's way bigger than you are?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 he is.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. In every band, whether, you know, like girl band or boy band, one of them leaves.
And ruins
it. They then stay on. They stay together for about another year.
And then they all... Yeah.
And then they all leave. It's exactly the same happened thing... Exactly the same thing happened to the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
And exactly the same thing happened to One Direction.
Yeah.
It happens. And they kind of go, oh, we're going to carry on as a four.
And you're like, never.
And they just
work.
Basically fulfill some commitment, you know.
And then they all realize, I don't want to fucking be with you either. I want to leave as well.
And I think there's sort of like a 5-year thing.
Like an expiration.
Well, you can only be together for 5 years.
I don't think you know that. But if you look back, I bet One Direction's thing was 5 years. And I bet the Spice Girls.
But do you think also it's because like the age, usually these bands, you're quite young when you get together and you change so much and then you've got this fame thing mixing that you kind of change in different directions and you kind of, instead of being 18, you're 24 and you're like,
Well, also,
I want something different.
Also, you're at that age where your testosterone is just making you go, I want to dominate this situation. I want to dominate. But like everybody's having their own version.
Are you
of that
talking
in the
about
band.
Mel C?
No, I'm not. So, and I think that that's probably what, I know what went on in One Direction and probably what went on in the Spice Girls too, because you're at that age where you're young bucks vying for position.
Jockeying for top dog.
Yeah.
But
did you
think...
my stomach then?
Yeah, was that your stomach?
Yeah.
Did you God ever wish us. You'd stayed a bit longer?
In a way... Yes, but you know what happened to my solo career? It's like, God, yeah.
No. Did you have one?
Yeah.
Not America, David. Not America.
If we could have gone, right, okay, now we're going to play instruments and I'm going to be the lead singer, then we would have had a great time. And in the end, we ended up doing that anyway. When we came back with Progress, we did this incredible album that I absolutely love.
I always think it's nice if things finish on a good note.
On a good
note.
Like
that Wham final or something like that.
Just, yeah, comes
there's
together.
Something lovely about that, isn't there? Where everyone's decided at the same time that they want to finish and it finishes.
And do it on a quite sympathetic
yeah, a
note.
Yeah, a celebration.
Think Andrew originally had decided that? It being the everyone in that equation? Think he'd gone, yeah...
Yeah, we should actually.
We should do this.
I should actually stop getting 50% of the royalties for all of your songs.
Did he get 50% of
I think he did. I think he co-wrote Careless Whisper, actually.
Oh, did he?
Well, he's credited with co-writing.
Is he?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? He's such a good-looking man.
He's still good-looking.
He's like fantastically good-looking.
Yeah, but I was thinking both of you have been in situations where you've been in kind of partnerships, bands, if you will. I mean, you and Matt did your stuff together and you and Take That. And then you've... done stuff, obviously, prolifically, I'm talking to David, on your own.
Thank you.
you know, and we were talking about this earlier, is like, well, you know, because we were talking about a certain neighbor who we will not name. You know, at what point can you not go back into an equation? You know, like you and Take That have gotten back together and it's all been very nice. And I'm sure at some point you and Matt will.
We had dinner last night. Yeah. So yeah.
No. You know, it's like, at what point do you think things become so toxic or things become so fractured that you can't go back? Because in certain cases, bands haven't been able
to. Yes, I know, like the Smiths, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my absolute favorite bands, but, you know.
Morris is difficult.
Never wanted to go back, and
well, the Gallagher's happened. Too, right?
The Gallagher's. I think it's TBC. Probably when someone's. I can only imagine someone is so toxic. You know,
that's what I mean. Word,
that it's just impossible to spend time with them without them upsetting you within a second of you walking through the door.
Yeah,
and I guess in that sort of situation, there's just no amount of money or a claim is going to get you back together. Because also, I thought being creative with someone actually requires.
A chemistry.
To respect each other. It's a bit like making love in a way, isn't it? It's a give and take, and you've got to actually, you know, care about the other person and receive their ideas and all that sort of thing. And if you can't do that because you hate each other,
you can't have the.
Do you ever see Some Kind of Monster, the documentary about Metallica?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know much about Metallica, but basically, it's the.
It's Metallica in therapy.
Yeah,
we were trying to see it.
So they're making an album with
a therapist
present.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And it's really strange, but actually the therapist kind of, at first you think this is absolutely ridiculous, but by the end you think, he's actually helped them.
Does he get it, I mean,
well,
is it necessary?
Well, he gets them into a place where they can function.
Is it weird watching a therapist?
It's
kind of
sad watching, I thought if I was a huge Metallica fan,
you'd be disappointed.
I would be sad watching the band that I love, and they
need
don't
like
a couple of them don't like each other. And I'd feel sad about that because I'd think, oh, come on.
You want them to be
Yeah, because the thing
you
about a band,
band
is it's a gang, isn't it? And you think, oh, you know, how brilliant to be in this gang.
Babe, we were talking about the Bross documentary, too.
Yeah?
And how toxic. Is it Matt? Which one's the one who sings?
Yeah, both of their relationships.
They seem to have a difficult relationship. I think probably being brothers doesn't help.
Because no,
because
they've got family deep.
Imagine if you've
stuff.
Got a family dynamic. The Beach Boys had that as well, didn't they?
Oh, do they?
Well, actually, and the Gallagher's.
And the Gallagher's is a family. But maybe that makes it harder.
Do you think they'll get back the Gallagher's? Do you think it's too far gone?
No, I don't think it is too far gone. I think I might be completely wrong. Because Mancunians have this sense of stubbornness that I don't think exists anywhere else in the world.
Oh, I've noticed, Robbie Williams.
Yeah, but I'm not a Mancunian.
You're so stubborn.
Yes, I know, but then there's degrees of stubborn.
Babe, you're right next to Manchester.
Yeah, well, it just goes, and then it sort of like drops off after Leeds. For some reason, people get less stubborn. Anyway, that stubbornness might never relinquish. But I also think that there's an ego in place too, because you know, you want your records to be successful and you want your tours to be successful. And in a declining record industry where interest in you and your star sort of fades, I just think eventually both of them will go,
Should we
go to stadiums again? Because it feels good and I get lots of money.
But this is what we're saying is, don't you think though it can be so toxic that even that money and that kind of adulation or getting to do your thing is still not worth it, because you have to be in a room.
I think if someone's upset your wife or something like that as well, that makes it more complicated, I think.
Oh yeah, when there's like wife
wars. Yeah, when somebody has been, you know, insulted.
You're talking about the Beatles?
No, I was thinking about the Gallagher's, but I mean, I think when it's
you know,
other
the topic
people involved
we were talking
as well.
About.
When other people are involved, I think that's harder.
Yeah, because there's like, because you can rally around.
I mean, I might think, well, you've insulted me, fair enough, but
you've
slagged
off my wife.
Love,
and my children.
Yeah, then I can't.
You can't go
that,
back,
yeah.
Really, can you?
Well, if there's contrition and apologies, and I'm sorry, and I said that because of this.
But then you also need the other people to be on board as well. Like,
well, that's what happened with me and Tate. It was like we sat in a room, and I said, "I'm sorry, I said this, but this is the reason that I said it," and we all received it so well.
Well, you all have to. That's what we were talking about earlier too. Is that you all have to be in the same place of wanting to let go of the things that hurt and move forward. But if there's
but
one,
it was like it was carrying several rucksacks of rocks around with me mentally for years that just released in one go. And the gift of being able to sort of, I always loved Gaz, but I didn't like a lot of the things that he was back in the day. And I'm sure that he loved me and didn't like a lot of the things that I was too. But the moment we sort of came to an understanding and agreement. It was just love, and it felt exquisite, you know. And I would
that was the person you had to heal the relationship with.
Yeah, that was the main. I mean, I remember when we met after we were fangirling over your Channel Swim.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that you would then at night we'd watch you, and then you would read the Gary Barlow autobiography to me, furiously smoking cigarettes, going over quotes of the thing, and then he fucking said, and you would just start reading it, and there'd be like a long drawn out conversation about what he did back in the day and how this was not correct, and then
underlining bits.
He was like highlighting.
You'd
things.
Underline bits.
So he was focused. Though, he was focused.
Even though you'd had this huge success, you were still scouring Gary Barlow's autobiography
yes.
for references to
yes.
you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one way.
Because what was unresolved there?
So much.
Right.
So much stuff. So much young book stuff.
Had you had any contact at all?
Bits and bobs. Yeah, no, not really, actually. No. I phoned him from rehab, I think, but I can't remember. Apologising. But then we did, and we have, and he's... I'm sort of now, you know, it's like, I really needed him to know that I could do it. That I could do the songwriting. And once that we'd written together, that was a big healing thing too.
David, do you have a stubborn side?
Yes, and I don't think it's a good side, is it? A stubborn side, really. Especially when you fall out with someone and you're then, all right, I'm
hold on.
I'm not going to call them, I'm not going to
hold on.
Them.
You say stubborn.
Yeah.
Have you got a nagging side?
I wouldn't say I have a nagging side. Maybe. I'm not stubborn, though. I'm definitely the first one to
you're
go...
You're not stubborn.
I'm not. I say I'm sorry. I
don't like the stubborn part of me, actually.
Do you recognise it? Like, do you notice
yeah.
it is happening?
Yeah.
You call
and
me
it's
stubborn
not, it's
all
not
the
an
time.
Attractive quality, is it? It's not a good quality to have because, you know, I was thinking, you know, you meet anybody...
Yeah, but what if you're right?
Everyone's family. You meet so many people who say... Oh, I don't speak to this one or that one, or I haven't seen my father or my mother or whoever it is for years and years and years.
We can just call him Rob. We don't have to.
and often it's so long, people can't even really remember what the thing is.
Yeah, they don't know what they're fighting about.
And it's just stubbornness, isn't it? It's meant that somebody didn't want to pick up the phone to the other person and heal it. And of course, you actually, the only person you hurt is
yourself,
isn't it? By being angry and you know, full of hatred for this other person. You know, it's so negative and it achieves nothing. But I think as you get older, the one good thing is you do get a bit wiser, don't you? And you think, what's the point of all this stupidity?
That's kind of
well,
what I think.
Can you remember the last time you were stubborn about something? You might not want to disclose that, but can you remember when I was...
You
were
always
was
stubborn.
Okay, when was the last time I was stubborn?
I mean, just any time there's any kind of disagreement about something, you just... don't want to, even if you like don't want to go to the doctors when your tooth is falling out, you're like, babe, I need to go, and it's like the tooth then falls out. I'm like, honestly, we could just take care of this with some antibiotics. You're just kind of like very, you kind of dig down in your ways. Like if there's anything where, but I was something in a relationship, if there's one person that's stubborn, both people can't be stubborn. Like there wouldn't be room for me to be equally stubborn, or we'd be Ike and Tina.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So like, I just kind of think you have this thing where... And Mom's kind of like that. Yeah, I'm throwing you... She's very stubborn. And they both kind of, in that sense, have difficulty saying, I'm sorry. Whereas I'm quite quick to... Because I just... I don't like confrontation. I don't like bad energy.
No,
like,
I think
I'm,
it's so much better just to say sorry and move
on. Yeah.
It's very difficult to say sorry.
But why do you think it's difficult?
No, but I'm learning how to say sorry.
Yeah, you've gotten better.
Me.
You've gotten so much better at kind of
are
like...
Are you good at sorry?
Probably not as good as I'd like to be.
It's a practice.
Yeah.
It is like...
I know what you mean, because it's sometimes it feels like you're admitting
yeah.
you were in the wrong, and then it's not very comfortable to do that, because
you might
it
not
doesn't
think
necessarily
yeah.
resolve everything, does it?
Because, exactly.
Because you feel like the other person should say sorry, and then they
right,
don't.
Right, and you're like,
I've done my
fuck?
Bit.
Yeah, and they go,
no,
oh,
I
thought you were going to say sorry now, and you go, oh, no, they didn't. Oh, okay.
Wait, if I accepted complete culpability for this situation?
Yeah, and that's what's sometimes difficult about it.
But I just think it's such an ego game, because really it's just having to remove the stigma of what being wrong versus right is, and kind of having to push that need to be validated that you are right out of the way, and kind of go, well, here's my part of it. Even if the other person doesn't say sorry for their part, I get to say sorry for
another
my part.
Another question.
Yeah.
Do you think that when you get older and your ears get bigger, there'll be like surgery to make your ears smaller?
Yeah.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
Because you've got big ears.
I know, I've got really big earlobes.
I've never noticed your earlobes being...
I've got really big earlobes.
You do have a large... I never even noticed that before.
Huge lobes.
See, if you were a woman, you could just litter those up with some earrings and it would just go away.
Gary Barlow's... we'd love that.
He'd love that.
He used to flick ears.
He's got an ear fetish. I know he loves an earlobe. Like he'll stroke a lobe, but I have quite small lobes, so I don't think I'm of much interest.
I know that my ears will get much bigger, and I was thinking
and hairier. You can fix that. Babe.
Can you just shave? I had
surgery on my ears once too, because I felt that they were big and they stuck out.
Yeah.
So they actually sewed one of the ears closer into my head.
Yeah.
But the surgery failed. There was an infection, and they had to.
My board submission
doubled in size.
See, Baby Yoda didn't even need CGI. She came ready made.
And I had to have everything removed, all the stitches.
But she will wear her hair back.
You have never seen me with my hair back.
You got to pull it back.
Let's see your ears. Come on, show David your ears.
Look at the face.
Now show me the other side. Just go like that, please.
They are large. They're quite substantial.
Have you ever taken off?
We were ready to go. No, but nobody
you're fine
did,
as so. You are. Yeah, you know that bit where you're supposed me. To go, no, babe, yeah. You're awesome the way you are.
That's why you're calling your baby Yoda. I get it.
But none of us have even seen your ears.
Hey, by the way, I think I've woke up now, so we can start the podcast.
I was going to ask you, because I actually didn't get to ask you guys before, because obviously this will go out later, whatever, but we didn't get to talk about the boy in the dress, which I cannot tell you how much I loved. Like, I've been telling everybody, you guys have created something so incredible with that musical. Like, already before, your books, you know, we read them to our kids, and by pure choice, not by knowing you at all, we loved them. And then for you to get the opportunity to work on the boy in the dress as a musical, and for me to watch you create that music in our house and have it come alive in our basement and just have this real magical moment with that, and then to actually see it come together on stage with our kids was so incredibly powerful and exciting and exhilarating. It was really like such a proud moment. It was something I was thinking in terms of our kids, like you were talking about your rides going to open up that you're going to purchase and dismantle. That I think that's one of the coolest things I think our kids have responded to more than, you know, Angels. Is that musical?
Well, it's lovely, isn't it? And there's something so euphoric about the show, and warm and good-hearted about it, and positive about
gentle
it.
Gentle and
And so it's a very loving piece. I feel like it's one that doesn't exclude anybody. I think pretty much anyone could go to that show and enjoy it, and it doesn't matter if you're a kid or a grown up, whatever it's. There's something in there for you, and if you're a grown up, you're thinking about your own childhood, and if you're a kid, you're just enjoying the story about the kids.
And actually, the musical format enhances the book, really, sort of.
Thanks. Completely.
Thanks, Gwen.
Completely, it does, because it amplifies all the moments.
No, I'm so thank you.
So the sad moments are sadder.
Yeah.
Because
the funny moments are funnier.
Yeah, because the songs amplify, and songs are magic, aren't they? And for someone who, me. I'm not talking about Rob here, who can't write songs. Me, I can't write songs, can't play musical instruments, can't sing. It feels completely magic when anyone can create a song. And so there's so many great ones.
Did you feel like when you were writing it, was it more, and I guess that's an overall question with children's books, is like, do you feel like when you're writing them, it's more about your childhood or your perspective as a father?
I think I'm thinking back to when I was...
Okay.
Like 10, 11 or 12 and thinking how I saw the world. Because I think when you're young, you see the world in a different way. Like I remember, where we lived, on the street where we lived, there might be a deserted house or something. And you would go there and look at it and go and ride on your bikes and look at the house and go, the curtain twitched,
right.
There's a ghost there.
There's
or something
a witch
like that.
In there.
So you definitely, the world is kind of hyper-real to you as a kid. And when bad things happen to you, it really feels like the end of the world, doesn't it? If you got expelled from school or something, you think, that's it, my life is over.
You don't have much to draw on.
Yes, and so... and because you don't have that much power, do you? It's really grown-ups have all this power over you. So there's lots of things about being a kid that are difficult, and the world also seems a kind of bigger, scarier, crazier place than maybe it really is. And as a result, I think when you're trying to write something for kids, you've got to think back to
as a child.
Seeing the world through a child's eyes. I think that is probably the key to it.
One of my favorite quotes, it's just a quote that hit me recently that I've just kind of stuck in my brain. I said it to you and it didn't kind of resonate for you, but it was, and I think the quote was from
somebody. No, I get it now because I've just thought it.
But the quote is, you see the world, and I'll get the name, but you see the world once from childhood and the rest is from memory. And I quite like that because I do think that for me, when I look at the world as an adult, so much of it is just, or all of it, is really based on a distant memory of how I want things to feel from when I was a child, or how I absorbed them in that moment, how I saw them as a child. It's still kind of carrying forward as an adult. It's like everything kind of pulls me back to my experience with that food as a kid, or my experience with that building as a child. Like, it all kind of roots back to that. It is all kind of like imprinted from there, isn't it?
But it's an amazing having children, isn't it? Because you sort of get to relive your childhood in lots of ways, don't you? Because you I don't know, play games you wouldn't play as a grown-up.
And it's
read
a safer,
books, you watch films.
It's a safer way to experience childhood in some way because you have the beauty
tools.
Of the tools and the hindsight, and you kind of realize that little thing that kid said isn't as important as it feels, and that, you know, that you will move on from that. And I think, like, for you doing the Christmas album, something that's, you know, something that's so magical is now being a parent with Christmas, because Christmas goes through this kind of, you know, magic moment as a child, and then you kind of learn about Santa and whatever, and you become a teenager in your early 20s, and it kind of loses its luster, and then you become a parent again, and it ignites with this complete.
What's going to happen when the children leave home?
Don't. It gets me very upset that
when
thought.
They're like 18 or something, and they're like,
everything
you say, and they're like, do we got their own plans at Christmas?
Well, even now, I don't know if you notice this with Alfred, is like with Teddy when she's got friends over. Before,
doesn't want to know you.
Yeah, they just run off in their little world, which you remember as a kid, but now as adult, it's like, you used to need me all the time.
David, have your leg hairs turned wiry like pubes yet?
Ugh.
No, yours have.
Mine have, yeah. Do your hairs feel like an old man's hair?
Wow, this is an interesting.
They're quite
topic.
Soft. Did you ever shave yours or something?
Shaved my.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did you shave your legs?
Do you ever manscape?
Just to see what it looked like.
Really.
Sometimes he looks like a young Asian boy. He'll just run into the bathroom for about 15 minutes and come back like...
Well, you've shaved all your...
I've shaved this off, like, last week.
He'll also do like this...
A number two.
He'll take my scissors and start trimming the nether
bits. But I'm very, very hairy. Are you not very hairy?
I'm quite hairy,
What
yeah.
about... You must have a hairy back.
This is taking an interesting turn, isn't it? I've got a little bit of hair on my back, yeah.
Rob's got incredibly hairy back.
I have mine taken off.
How?
I have somebody shear me.
That's me.
Really?
He makes
it's
me
you
shear.
Or Davide, my hairdresser.
No, but you make me shear the whole backside.
Yeah.
Not just the back.
She. But then we get to a razor on the arse because it's like dreadlocks.
Okay, but do you feel
Island.
Sorry
I
for
saw,
me sometimes?
I saw people.
Like one of those people
I
in
was
lorries.
Watching Love Island and someone was shaving someone's bum.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he makes me do.
This is prime time entertainment.
But this is what he makes me do with. We have to do a wet shave in the bath sometimes.
Why?
Do you remember when you were very pregnant with Ida and you did a waxing of Rob?
Yeah, I did a wax.
She's looking at my arse, and I like to get my arse out a lot. Not so much these days.
He makes me go in deep, David.
I don't.
It's pretty traumatic.
I don't. You like to do a thorough job.
I like where I choose to do because out of wife duties I commit.
So
but
you
it's
mustn't
pretty
be
graphic.
As, you mustn't be as hairy as me. See,
look at David's traumatized face.
I took testosterone for quite a while, and when you
did it make your hair grow?
Yeah, it did.
Really?
Yes.
What else did it do?
It made me look like a brick, and it made me look like a doorman. And that's not the
and
look
you were quite
that I was
randy.
Trying to achieve. Yeah. And it made me sort of...
How long did you take it for?
Well, on and off, like a couple
of years. 12 years.
And what's the benefit of it?
You can work out for 3 hours a day.
Yeah. Even when you've got a newborn baby.
Yeah.
So it's this the one that people do in the... You know, sometimes you
lose
see
weight.
People who have a gym... You know, some people have a kind of physique where you think...
Like Bruce Willis or
Well, not
Stallone.
So much that. I think when they look like the Hulk or something. And you
yeah,
sort
he
go,
did. He looked like a bouncer.
And you think that guy must have been taking something strange.
Yeah, he didn't look his best. I mean, you did lose all of your neck.
Hey, look, if you go see a doctor and the doctor goes, I know why you're depressed and low libido and low, you're not functioning very well. It's because your testosterone is of a 99-year-old granddad, and you're like, oh, okay, well, perhaps.
Plus, you like drugs. So.
Some testosterone, then, and then they give you testosterone, then.
You abuse it.
Well, you say abuse.
Enjoy.
So when you stop taking it, did anything happen?
All the opposite.
All the opposite. Yeah.
Really.
Rewind the tape and.
What happens physically?
Well, I'm smaller, aren't I?
I mean, you kind of. It's like testosterone makes you lose weight but bulk up.
Yeah.
It's like you had less fat, but you were larger, whereas now you're more slim.
David, have you run out of talk juice? Is this where we wrap up the podcast?
Okay.
We can do. I'd like a cup of tea, please.
Oh, we'll get a cup of tea. What kind of tea would you like?
I'd like, we're in a hotel, I'd like English breakfast tea, please.
Yeah, we can wrap up and just have a tea.
David, it's so nice that you've taken the time to come and do this podcast today. Really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Yeah, it's lovely spending time
with you. I learned so much more about English and American language.
Oh, we didn't talk about it.
We didn't talk about that, though.
We talked about it a bit. We talked about other. We just had to change the subject to ourselves.
I know.
Because we were much more interested.
I was going to talk about the use and favor and color, and then we went to your ass.
Sometimes
hairs
when we were on Britain's Got Talent, remember we had this act. This woman came on. I think she was doing something like there were plants that somehow she could read our futures through plants or something like that. Anyway, the whole audience were booing. They were bored out of their brains, but we, the judges, were all enjoying it because it was about us.
Tell me more about me.
You're reading our future through plants or something like that.
Hold on, she's got the ficus.
Awful, isn't
that's
it?
That's so funny.
So
postcards from the edge. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Well, maybe for Robbie. Not so much for David and me, who had to see him in his panties. Big thank you to David for coming on and being an amazing guest despite the enforced nudity. I'll make sure next time Rob is fully clothed. Join us for the next episode very soon, where there will be more laughs and hopefully less pants. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please subscribe. I mean, it's actually begging. Rate us, review us, all the 5 stars, all the bells and whistles, please, wherever you find your podcasts. Seriously. Desperate for a good review. Also, if you can't get enough of my voice and feel you need me in your life weekly rather than fortnightly, then check out Stay at Home with the Williamses, where me and hubby Rob will be chatting about life in the Williams household, life under lockdown, and let's see how we are all getting along coping in this new normal. Search for Stay at Home with the Williamses and subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Postcards from the Edge is a Blueprint Pods production. Executive producer Sophie Palak and producer Warren Borg. Postcards from the Edge.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.